Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Name that tune. This is Wretched Radio. Well,
I know. That's Sanford and Son.
How'd you know that, Jimmy?
I know it.
Okay. Unlike you, I haven't seen Sanford and Son for decades, and yet there's the theme song right there. You want to know what other song was stuck in my... Okay, this is just flat out humiliating. Would you like to know what was running around in my brain the other day when it made me stop and go, it is amazing how much you retain from childhood, especially when it's set to music.
What's that?
Comet. It makes your teeth turn green. Comet. It takes like gasoline. Comet. It makes you vomit. So use Comet and vomit today. Okay. There's something I haven't said in a long time. Somehow Comet, I don't know if I saw a comment. I don't know if I was cleaning a bathroom sink, whatever it was. And I can repeat it. Why? Because I memorized it as a child. Make sure your kids, they are being catechized. Make sure your kids are memorizing scripture. Because when you get to be Jimmy's age, forget about it. You still watch the Sanford and Son, do you?
Yeah, every once in a while. Every once in a while. You don't?
Was it clean, dirty? I have no recollection of that.
Oh, it's terrible.
Is that right?
I didn't realize how bad it was until I just watched it.
There was a comedian, I can't remember who it was, but they said that they went to Las Vegas and they saw Red Fox perform.
Oh.
They said, and I don't think that this comedian that I was talking to was a believer or was like pure in its stand-up routine, thought it was the most vulgar, crass, vile, filthy show that he had ever seen in his entire life. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Dylan. Todd, Jesus said in Matthew 22 that in heaven we won't be married nor be given in marriage. I've always heard that the first instance of marriage we see is Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 prior to the fall. What do you think? Or why do you think it is that we're introduced marriage in the garden where everything is perfect, but denied it in heaven?
Because it's a pointer. It's a pointer. It's a pointer. It's a pointer. Once we have the object to which it points, we don't need the pointer anymore. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I know how I feel about that. I like to think I know how Mrs. Friel feels about that. Like, cut off both of my arms and legs. What, not be married? I mean, which is, I wouldn't know how to function, frankly. It would be, like, the thought of it is horrific. Furthermore, all the memories. How's about making children together? And to be in heaven and not to be married to her? Well, let's just start with what the Bible reveals to us. First of all, it is a pointer. It's the lesser pointing to the greater. Second of all, when you are in heaven, guess what? You are going to be married in that your relationship with your Savior and your relationship with others will be at that profound level even deeper, because that it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are going to experience a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ than anything we could, even in the best of marriages, could imagine here, because it was merely a pointer. So when we get to heaven, you will have deeper, profound relationships than you have even here. But I have begged, and I don't mean in an Alistair kind of way, I have begged the question, what about your actual spouse from here? Will you be married? Well, in the same sense that you'll be married to everybody else, but it's not, you're going to be in that covenant union, that former covenant union. Does that mean then that my relationship somehow is going to be like, hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Good, nice, another nice day, huh? Wasn't that meal incredible? No, I don't think it's going to be that way at all. Why? Because I don't think that we get memory swiped when we go to heaven. That those experiences are still there. I think we're going to sit around the table and we're going to talk about those, married or not. Hey, do you remember that time we went on the missions trip? Oh, and you remember that when we... All of those things are still going to be there and they can be lovely reminiscences. Same thing is true with your spouse. It doesn't go away. That special relationship is not going to be diminished. It's actually going to be enhanced. So don't fret. If you're one of those who think that the thought of not being with your spouse is just insufferable, know that you'll first of all have an even greater addition to that. And I don't think that all of the sweet memories that you've stored up together are going to disappear. You have nothing but good to look forward to in heaven. 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a text from Josiah. Todd, is the doctrine of eternal security essential to understanding the gospel?
Depends. It depends. Well, is it essential to understanding the gospel? No, I don't think it's like, I'm just focusing on the point. Let me just focus on the point before you get mad at me for suggesting that it's not important. Regarding, is it necessary for understanding salvation? I don't think that somebody who's getting saved needs to answer that theological question correctly. They might not even have pondered it or thought of it. I think they can still get saved. Now, is it a doctrine of cardinal importance? Does it rise to the level of essential? And I would say that the answer is it could. It doesn't necessarily have to. That somebody, because they don't think that God is strong enough, he's not capable, or I have to maintain my status, that's big. That's trouble. That's not good. That's not good at all. But if somebody just doesn't understand, it's like, well, you know, it seems that I was taught when I was a kid that I could lose my salvation. I don't think that they're heretics. Could somebody have a deficient view of God, which might indicate they're disqualified from actually being a believer? I think so. But it would have to be something that I think was contemplated and is articulated in a way that denies the infinitude of God. That when he saves, he saves forever. Nobody can snatch anybody from his hand. That people are indeed eternally secure. If they're rejecting that because they either don't believe the clarity of the Bible or they don't believe in the omnipotence of God and his ability to save forever, that would be a problem. Jimmy, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I would add to it, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying, but just the people who would disagree with that doctrine, I don't get it. I mean, if the doctrine isn't essential to the gospel, then the gospel is an offer without a guarantee. So,
but again, for the person who probably hasn't thought that through, they haven't considered it, they're maybe new to the faith, I think that needs to be introduced and taught. I think eternal security is a glorious doctrine. And furthermore, I just think it's super clear. I just know that there's a lot of genuine, sweet believers who have just been taught, I think, wrongly on this subject. I wouldn't say that it makes them a heretic if they just got it wrong. But no, they're not assailing the character and the nature of God.
Right. No, I completely understand what you're saying, and I agree with it. Yeah. I just wanted to say I agree with you, Todd. I wanted you to know
it's okay.
That I don't always disagree with you.
Just give me a moment. This has been a big day for us, Jimmy. IdeaAtWretched.org.
This is from Wade. Todd, would you suggest, or what would you suggest to a rural non-seminarian to do as the next step after It's Not Greek to Me?
Oh, you're going to have to dive in deeper, I'm afraid. You got to pick yourself your favorite teacher, your favorite book. There's a number online that you can go check out. I don't think Bill Mounts is the only game in town. I think he's been historically, I think for evangelicals, the Greek go-to guy, but I don't think he's the only guy. I think that you can study it online. I bet there's a ton of YouTube videos that would teach it differently, or not differently, but would teach it thoroughly. I think also that there are books that you can get to teach you Greek more formally. I'm trying to remember. Crosby Schaefer was the book Introduction to Biblical Greek that I used. I don't think I'd recommend it if you do not have a longer history with ancient languages. If you haven't studied, for instance, Latin, probably for a number of years, the Crosby Schaefer book would be like boing. If I read to you the first sentence in the book, and you are uninitiated in ancient languages, you'd be like, "What is that dude talking about?" So go online, do some research. You can do some YouTube stuff, and you can also do online. I'm just thinking the Masters Universe. Let's look up, Jimmy, and just see what classes somebody might be able to take a look at the Masters University, masters.edu. You could do some online classes with the Greek language, too. I suspect that you could. And they might not insist that you actually have a physical presence on campus. It might just be something that you can do exclusively online. Will you find it already? I doubt it.
No, I mean, I'm looking.
Yeah, don't use your AI machine. We'll be here all day waiting for that. Honestly, man, just crank that. You got this. There's a handle on the side. Just crank that thing up a little bit further and keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Blue Letter Bible can be helpful. There's interlinear translations. But there's also It's Not Greek to Me, which is an introductory course, which is available for free at, say it together, fortisplus.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one, and you've probably noticed, well, the world doesn't make it easy. They say be strong, but not too strong. Lead, but you don't want to be toxic. Look, it's a lot of mixed signals, and after a while, you just stop listening to any of it. And the thing about it is, Scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. Dr. Tyson is a pastor. He's also a professor at the Masters University, and he's one of our Fortis Institute fellows, and he's not interested in cultural trends. He's interested in what the Bible actually says. And if you're an ongoing monthly gospel partner of Fortis Institute, it is your support that helps make content just like this possible. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Happy hunting. This is Wretched Radio. Went to the Googler machine to look for Greek online courses. Wow. There's not a few. There's a ton of them listed there, starting with take intensive Greek classes. That doesn't sound like fun. Greek language school, the Greek online school, the online Greek tutor. Huh. Free Greek lessons. Somebody at Reddit who made a list of all of the free Greek learning tools that are available online, videos and apps and dictionaries and websites. So in other words, happy hunting. Look for the course that makes the most sense for you. If you start it or you just check it out and it's like, I'm not tracking, that is, I don't understand what's happening there, then abandon it and go find a better one. Because you just don't want to be in this haze all the time. And if you've never studied Greek and you want to do something online, I would encourage you and commend to you our resource. It's free, so we're not shilling anything here. It's not Greek to me because I wrote that. It's only like 7-9 lessons, something like that. You're not going to become a Greek scholar with that few lectures, and you're not going to be speaking Koine Greek fluently. But it will help you to understand this is how the language works. If you don't understand ancient languages and how they're structured, and there's differences between Hebrew, certainly, Greek and Latin, but you want to get a grasp because those languages, they simply put together sentences differently. And they have a different way of treating verbs, and they have a different way of treating even nouns. From prefixes to endings and declensions and conjugations. If all of that is just like a mystery to you, then scoot to fortisplus.org and look for it's not Greek to me. Then once you're done with that, if you've got a hunger for Greek, go online and find stuff. I do believe that they teach Greek at Masters U, but we couldn't find it that wasn't inside of a course. In other words, a degree program. So you might have to call up the kids at Masters if you want to just do like a one-off course in Greek. I don't know if they do that or not, but I will send an email to Dario and I'll find out and share that with you because you might want to do that. At the very least, if you are in pastoral ministry and you've never studied Greek, there's much deeper Greek courses. Believe me, there are much deeper Greek courses that you can take, but it's not Greek to me. Will at least help you be able to use your blue letter Bible. It'll help you to use an interlinear translation. It'll just help you read commentaries when they say, the aorist tense being used in the participular form in the middle voice of the... You're going to at least know what they're talking about. It is just a basics course. Jimmy, you mentioned during the break that you're using what these days?
Logo software.
You rich?
No, you used to have to be. You used to have to be extremely rich. It was thousands of dollars, but now they have subscription levels where you pay monthly.
And do they have Greek courses on it?
I think they do have courses. I haven't looked into the courses, but I think they do have lectures and courses on a bunch of different stuff, including languages. So, yeah.
Far out. That's a different model for them because I remember when it was first introduced, this is pre the sophisticated level that we're at with the internet and certainly AI. It was like, whoa, that's really helpful. All of this assembling of word studies and all this assembling on all of the different commentaries. This is like, whoa! Well, it's less whoa these days because, well, if you know how to look for it, you can probably find it out there, but it's still a helpful tool, you believe, the logos?
Oh, absolutely. There's a learning curve for sure.
Then I'm out.
I mean, they have training on there, though. There is a learning curve, but once you get the hang of it, it's some really good stuff.
See, I'm worse than your mom and Sanford and Son. When it comes to technology,
yeah.
I'd probably struggle. I'd struggle with it,
yeah,
don't you?
You would. Because I struggle with it.
Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Okay, your mom basically watches Sanford and Son because she can't find any other channel on her sophisticated TV.
That's right.
I'm worse than that. It's true. Jimmy, am I lying?
No.
I've
said it before and I'll say it again. I, two or three times a week from down the hall, I hear, help.
And it's just, you know which one I always need help on? I hit a button and what the little screen that was on my screen, the little thing that was open, I don't want to get all technological on you. It suddenly becomes full screen. Mm. I don't want it full screen. But there's no buttons to put. How do I get this back? And then Matt just walks into my office, clicks a couple of buttons, shuffles out, muttering underneath his breath. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Teresa. Todd, my friend doesn't believe in penal substitutionary atonement and the wrath of God on Jesus at the cross, but rather simply that Jesus willingly gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. She believes it would be cosmic child abuse for God otherwise. Boy. Can one go to heaven after seeing in Scripture these truths and reject them?
No. No. Now, could it be a possibility that your friend is saved? And after opening up the Bible and showing her all of these verses, she has no other option but to go, I was wrong. I am so, that I was wrong with this. I need to be instructed better. Then that would be actually... do we not have a biblical demonstration of that with Apollos? He didn't understand baptism, right? He didn't understand it fully. He was taught and went, nope, okay, got it. It didn't mean he wasn't saved. It just meant that he wasn't instructed. That could be her case, but this is different than eternal security. Eternal security can be carnal. I don't think that properly placed it is, and it's like really close. But I don't think it is an essential doctrine, which means you'd be damned if you've got it wrong. But if it compromises the character and the nature of God, then you are in really dangerous waters. The issue of penal substitutionary atonement, nope, that's cardinal. That's all there is to it. That is a cardinal doctrine. That is the doctrine of justification. That is the doctrine of grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Show her, just go, do you use your logo software, or you can just use whatever concordance you got. Look up the word propitiation. Look up the word justification, that he died for our sins over and over and over. It's not a one-off. It is just a constant, repetitious banging of the drum of justification. What she's citing, by the way, that's probably James Tallarico. These are other versions of penal other versions of the atonement that try to explain away what they call. I remember Greg Boyd was the first one that I heard use that. It's cosmic child abuse. No, it's not. Cosmic child abuse is somebody who's angry and out of control, incorrectly and unjustly punishing a child. That's hardly what happened on the cross when, from eternity past, Jesus Christ agreed to go to the cross. God wasn't out of control. This wasn't unbridled wrath. No, this was all predetermined. It was settled. It was exactly right. Why? Why? For the payment of sins. If you lose payment of sins, then yeah, you're going to see it as cosmic child abuse because it's pointless. But I would say that also applies to what this young lady that is being written about believes that it was. What did she say, Jimmy? That it's just an example or something of love.
She believes it would be
cosmic child abuse. All right, then what was the point of it? Ask her. What was the point of it? Why would a man who is not crazy march to a cross? He said it himself that he could call down legions of angels and get out of this, but he didn't. Why? And turn this argument around. Put it on them. The burden is on you. The Bible is so clear. The burden is on you. So tell me, if Jesus didn't die for sins, then what was he doing there? You explain it. And then open up your Bible and show them and let the word do the convicting and convincing. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Wyatt. Todd, recently I've been seeing the subject of conspiracy theories pop up like crazy.
Yeah.
Ideas like the flat earth or 9/11 being an inside job. How should Christians respond to these ideas? Should we sincerely look into them for the truth or just ignore them completely?
Well, does this person not think 9/11 was an inside? Oh, sorry. We seem to be in an era of that. There's conspiracy theories have always existed. And I think the joke is it's only a conspiracy theory until it's proven to be true. It does happen. Sometimes what was esteemed a conspiracy theory, it's like, oh, there it is after all. I think what do I do with these things with a brother or sister who believes these things? I'm not being cheeky. I'm not trying to give kind of a let's just move on kind of an answer. But honestly, what do I do about it? Nothing. It's just not important. It just isn't. It'll get sorted. It'll come out in the wash. If 9/11, if that happened to have been an inside job, it'll come out someday. And if it doesn't, oh well. And if my brother or sister believes it, that doesn't even get to the level of tertiary doctrine. It's not a doctrine at all. I've got brothers and sisters, they do believe in flat earth theory. And I don't mean this like my attitude toward them is negative. I don't care. I don't care. It's not that I don't care, but I love them. I just don't care that they hold to that. Why? Because it just doesn't make a difference. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.